You're on the air.
Hello, this is Al.
Hey, Al, how's it going? Can you hear me okay?
I can. How am I?
Oh, okay. My God.
You're fine.
Oh, okay. My God.
Folks, let me play the music. Hold on. That's from Larry 3. How's it going, Al?
Great. How are you?
The one and only Al, the... I call him the father of PC gaming.
Mac Daddy.
The Mac Daddy, yes.
The Godfather.
Godfather's overplayed. It's still a good word.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single person in this room has played your game throughout their childhood.
As long as we don't go to grandfather.
Yes.
that's exactly what I was trying to say.
I didn't say that earlier, did I? So, Al, where to start? I mean, the concept. Back then, to say, okay, we're going to have like one of those Sierra point-and-click kind of games, but it's going to be about a guy on his quest to get laid.
I like to think it was much more than that.
Oh, yes, it was. I mean, it wasn't all about...
Well, no, that was pretty much it.
I guess that was pretty much it.
You were pretty much chasing after Boo Nanny. I remember it clearly. It rocked.
Yeah.
You are the first person that I know of that could take multiple pixels and make them look like they're having sex. Pixels back then were big, too. I mean, and that little guy's butt was moving so fast. Well, my computer wasn't that good. So it was kinda,
how did it start?
Once upon a time, there was a game called Soft Porn.
Uh-huh. Oh, it was that text? Yeah.
So you're not the first.
It was the only text-only game that Sierra ever published.
Wow.
It was back in... Oh, the very early days of PCs.
1984.
I'll give you an example. When I bought my Apple in 1981 or 80, there were about 100,000 Apples in the world.
Wow.
And Sierra had sold 25,000 copies of this text-only game. And everybody I knew had a pirated version. So, I mean, it was pretty much, I was going to say 100% penetration. I don't know if I can say that.
Ooh, that's right up our alley.
Anyway, it was a big hit. In fact, when Time Magazine ran their very first pay full-page article on microcomputers and home computers, PCs, and stuff like that, they featured a photograph of the cover of that game. That's how big a hit it was. They were talking about how people could use these things for VisiCalc and for database, and you could also play games on it. And that was
yeah. And masturbatory yeah. uses, yeah.
Yeah.
You can so, make a keyboard on
so
your
So anyway,
hat.
That game kind of ran its course, and when Sierra bought the rights to the Disney characters, which is another interesting story in itself, which we could get into at another call, but anyway, when Sierra got the rights to the Disney characters, the Disney people didn't think that Mickey and Donald should be sharing a catalog with Soft Porn. So they dropped Soft Porn, obviously. And it had reached its life anyway. So then later we lost the rights to the Disney characters. And I was kicking around for something to do, and we talked about what a great hit Soft Porn had been, and you know how everybody loved it. It was a big it came out that maybe we should try and rejuvenate it, bring it up to date, put it in, modern graphics with 160 pixels. And 16 colors on top.
Oh, 16. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. My bad.
So we looked around, and I said, well, I'll take a look at it and see what I can do. I took it home, and I played it, and I came back and reported in, and I said, Ken, this game is so out of it, man. The character should be wearing a leisure suit. And everybody laughed, and I thought, well, that got a laugh. Maybe that's funny. So I said, well, maybe the best thing I can do is to make a game. If you let me, I'll do it, but you've got to let me make it funny. I think if you let me parody that game, I think I can make people laugh. And at the time, Sierra needed product and didn't have a lot of money, and I worked real cheap, and so that's what happened. I spent about 3 months writing all the code and the every message. I threw out every message that was in the original game. And there were no graphics, of course, so those all had to be redone. One of Sierra's artists was Mark Crow, who created the graphics for the Space Quest series. He was busy working on Space Quest 1 at the time. In 1 month of his evenings and weekends, he knocked out all the graphics for the first Larry game.
Jeez.
So between those 4 man months of effort, we were ready to ship a game. Well, by then it was like February or March or something, and no market for gaming at that time of the year. So, and plus it was my first game that had a typed interface where you had to actually type in words and the game would recognize it and then act intelligently upon it.
That's what I loved. Like when I played Gold Rush, I think that was the first.
Yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah, and I loved that you could type anything like Rob Bank. Oh, you shouldn't do that. I'm like, wow, that's great. The responses
well,
you'd get.
Those were the games were not as intelligent as we led you to believe, because the way that actually worked was I produced this game in 3 months, and then we spent a month. We sent it out to 12 people who played the game, but a special version of the game that wrote a file to the disk every time they typed in something that the game didn't understand. Then I got back all those disks, those floppy disks from everybody, and compiled all that data, and then I made it answer all those questions.
Was it like verb recognition?
It was just try to recognize what's a noun and what's a verb, and then come up with some kind of answer that meets those two words.
Yeah, no doubt. Exactly.
Well, then anyway, so the game shipped and had the worst first month sales of any title Sierra ever sold.
Yay!
I think it sold like 4,000 copies.
Oh, man.
So I kind of looked around and said, well, I just pissed away 6 months of my life.
Who knew?
Went on to bail out the Police Quest 1 game, which was kind of treading water for want of an experienced programmer.
Now, you were involved in that game?
I did. Yeah, I was the lead programmer on that.
Is that why there's that joke? Oh, the difference between an oral thermometer and an anal thermometer? The taste?
Yeah.
You wrote that joke?
Yeah, that's
I put that guy school, and I'm like,
He's like a computer, you know, graphic guy, but he's funny as shit.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And there's a different color, too.
Anyway, we went to, so I spent like 3 or 4 months working on the Police Quest game and ignored the sales. Well, Larry's sales every month doubled. And it was just strictly through word of mouth. People heard about it and told their friends. And the game, I actually have a chart in my office of after a year, the game got into the top 10. And I had a bullet beside it because it was a fast rising star. I'm thinking, in 52 weeks, it's been.
It was pretty controversial,
not
too.
Not exactly fast rising. But
wasn't it controversial? I mean, what kind of heat did you get for producing that?
Well,
because, I mean, back then it wasn't, it was still new.
At the time, we sold a third of our product to Radio Shack. Wow. Radio Shack was a huge retailer of software then. And literally one third of all the games sold that we sold went through Radio Shack.
They made tons of money on you, probably.
Radio Shack's CEO back then, and maybe still now, was a devout Christian. And
I love it. I love it. I'm sorry. I love
that. And the guy who graded the software for him made sure that, you know, the Radio Shack only sold, you know, bugless software or whatever. Those guys wouldn't even take the game in. They wouldn't even look at it, let alone show it to him. So we got no sales whatsoever out of Radio Shack. Well, it turned out to be a giant blessing in disguise, because Radio Shack at the time had negotiated real high margins. They were kind of like the Walmart of today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They we didn't make much money on any game we sold them, but we sold them a lot of games. So the gist of it was that we ended up selling the game at regular retail outlets where we actually made more money.
Oh, yeah.
And because Radio Shack didn't sell it, it ended up being a benefit to everybody.
Oh, great.
So that's the story.
The bad guys lost.
Good. Yeah.
Now they're just a tiny little company that tries to sell cell phones.
Yeah.
Radio
Shack went down the tubes.
Tell this guy about it. Well, you don't go into it, but we've had our problems with them, too.
Yeah. We constantly, every time, I'll go in and try to buy an adapter, and they're like,
So what do you need it for? Internet radio? All right. Well, I've got some mixers. You got to take a look at these. Now, if you're going to bring up that audio quality, that sheen for Backstreet Boys, Britney's. No, it's a talk show. Oh, so you do like a Howard Stern, Don Imus. No, I don't.
It's funny. I just bought stuff there, and I actually didn't have a problem. I spent $50 and got a bunch of new shit.
I'm going to music
show.
Stores for everything.
Yeah, every time we send you, you always buy the wrong part.
I know. I got to go to a music store. I can't go to a.
All right. We have a phone call.
Yeah. Anyway. Some sequels. Run by each sequel and tell me what you thought and what you thought the response was.
And what the funny shit came from. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And then plug your new game.
Well, which of those should I answer first?
Yeah. The fun one, whatever's the most fun.
Sierra, in its infinite wisdom, decided that a couple years ago that they would produce a another Leisure Suit Larry game. They... the way they went about it was a company in Illinois, a development house, was looking for a new project, something to program, and they walked in and said, "You guys have this Leisure Suit Larry property. Nothing's happened to it. It was one of the hottest games. Why don't you let us create a new Leisure Suit Larry game for you?" And they said, "Okay." They didn't call me. I tried to get involved. They refused.
Well, that sucks. I did you bitch whine and complain.
Did they do you justice?
Well, you know, the game hasn't shipped yet, so I don't know.
Oh, well, you haven't played it?
I haven't seen it.
Will you play it?
I will play it to see what it's like, I'm sure.
Good. Yeah. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
But I don't... it's totally unlike the other games. And they wanted to have their cake and eat it too.
Oh, so what they did they use
they
your name?
Say that it's the Leisure Suit Larry game, but it only has a passing reference to Larry.
Right.
It's actually made up out of Larry's nephew.
Fuck.
He's in college, and it has nothing to do with adventure games or your choice of input to women. There are women in the game. But you choose them through you choose how to talk to them through a random kind of a game that where you move a little sperm around with a joystick. So it's
You don't sound like you're very excited about it.
You know, it could be great.
Are you still attached to a claim to where you wouldn't want us to boycott it?
we don't want to cost you money.
Damage, all right?
We don't want to cost you any money. Network. You're getting a share of this, at least, right? I mean...
I get nothing.
Oh, fucking bastard.
Son of a bitch. Does the own the name?
I had no property rights to the characters or any of the intellectual
copyright patents.
All the characters and everything.
You send a form to Congress. Man.
Well, if it's not true to the older Leisure Suit Larrys, as true fans as we are, I can guarantee you that we will enjoy your games playing them now more than that one.
This guy is everybody.
Your games were the bomb. You did something special.
I actually got to the point where I wrote to Sierra and said, since you're not doing anything with my old games, at least let me have the rights back to them so I can post them on my website and people can download them.
Sure.
At least people could play them and have a good time.
Sure. What do they say to that?
They're refusing to even sell the games.
Don't worry. We all have copies.
Well,
people are playing.
Yeah, but he's not getting money. Bullshit. He should be
paying. He's wanting to, like, you know, give them out as, like, abandonware, I guess.
Yeah, right. But don't worry about it. People are still playing your game.
Oh, I know.
I have all of your games on my
machine. Readily available if you know where to look.
Oh, yeah. You should tell your story and go to someone. Famous.
I still think I have an original Commodore 64 5 1/4 floppy.
Oh, my God.
Like, original.
So I still have my Tandys.
Wow.
From when I had a Tandy, yeah. And what, six discs?
It was funny because Sierra was terrible about maintaining archives. They didn't save anything. It was always like, well, you know, we've got new stuff coming out. We're more interested in the new stuff.
It's every music of nightmare.
And so everything that that I wrote, I happened to keep a copy of the box because for a while in my office I stuck boxes up on the wall as I ship products. And so I have boxes, but I don't have a lot of the original game discs myself.
See, and you know what pisses me off most about that? In today's technology, even if you think back 10 years ago, all of that, every single game and the image of the box of all sides could have been stored on one fucking CD.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
That would piss me off the most, and nothing was saved.
Well, they, uh, uh, the, many fan sites and stuff have retained copies of that stuff. So, I mean, it's still available.
So, Al, what's the future hold for you?
I've been retired for 6 years now.
Uh-huh. Are you okay, or do they rip you off so bad you're destitute? I mean, you made some money, right?
Shut up, you
I'm worried about him. I don't want to be
He's not retarded. He's just a Republican.
He was a master programmer for like 40 years.
Okay,
I'm sure
good.
He's fine.
So he's probably a Republican too. Okay, don't worry.
I apologize.
We have to apologize for us.
He's a musician.
Yeah, that's true.
A musician. You know, it's the way he got ripped off and everything.
He's an artist of sorts.
Yeah, you're an artist.
True?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it true? That same story, huh?
I felt
good when I learned the creator Superman was treated the same way.
Oh, you're a great company. Are you kidding me? Look at those guys that invented television in the 40s. Their stuff's all gone. It wasn't even on film like we know it, you know?
The best part about you is you get to make your money when you're still alive.
I just read an article this morning about the guy who invented the RFID tag. You know, those little tags that Walmart is going to start putting in everything that they sell?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy invented those like 28 years ago or something, so the patents run out. So he gets nothing now. Finally going to be a hit, and he gets nothing.
Walmart. Patents in music only last like 68 years, so your great-grandkids will get screwed even if you're Paul McCartney. That's what I'm
saying. Well, actually...
you can re-patent.
I think they just changed their... You know, Disney keeps paying off enough congressmen to get that law extended.
Thank God, Disney.
It gets close to being public domain. So now I think they've extended to death of the creator plus 50 years or something. But then whenever Walt died, as soon as that gets close, then they'll have to extend it again to 75.
Exactly.
Their whole goal in life is to never let those characters become public domain.
Yeah.
No, you can, but you see, you can also sell your rights or sign away your rights. And what I did was, I signed the standard rich and famous contract as offered.
So you got screwed?
Which was... I got good money. I made good money. I'm happy with what I got, and
I accepted it
willingly, knowing what I had. And who knew? You know, at the time that I created those characters, everybody was creating new games and new properties right and left, and was like, well, you know, if this doesn't go off, we'll do something else. I'll make something else happen. You know, so it wasn't like it was a big deal. It was a big deal, but
it was huge.
Yeah. The worst part of the whole thing is to watch the property go to hell.
Huh. Yeah. Well, let's hope these guys, even though they're assholes, did you justice and made a decent game.
Yeah. Well, the young kids won't remember the old stuff, man.
Yeah, they will. Believe me, Leisure Suit Larry's like Disney. It's never gonna die.
Yeah.
So many people played it. You have no. You gotta understand how big that is.
In 50 years, he could be in a museum. He'll be dead, but I mean, they'll be like, "Wow, this guy was like the Shakespeare of the late 20th century, you know?
As long as they freeze my head.
But Al, I want to thank you for calling in. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
It's
been an honor.
You're welcome.
I love you.
You rock.
Wait a minute. I got to put in a plug for my website.
Oh, of course.
Tell people to come to allo.com.
You can even sign up for free daily jokes.
I got Cyber Joke 3000. Oh, you got to put some echo on me, though. Cyber Joke 3000.
I was about to go up to the mixer. Al, can you give us a quick plug? He's like,
I ain't saying shit for you.
I'm sure the word plug has been on some of his games, but for all the wrong reasons.
He's like, dude, I don't want to say what you're talking about.
Just if you want to say, like, I'm Al Lowe, and you're listening to the Social Crime Radio Network, or I'm Al Lowe, creator of Leisure Suit Larry, and you're listening to the Social Crime Radio Network.
You might say,
sure. Okay. You want to do it right now?
Yeah.
Sure.
Everybody be quiet. Shh. Ready? Go.
I'm Al Lowe, creator of Leisure Suit Larry, and you're listening to the Social Crime Radio Network.
Okay. We're going to put this all around the world.
That'd be too much Al Lowe in the credits. All right, Al, thanks a lot.
All right, good talk.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Nice guy.
Nice guy. That was an